Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verse 1, God's Word translation says, "Faith assures us of the things we expect and convinces us of the existence of things we cannot see." Faith is being confident of what we expect and convinced of what we don't see. Confident of what we expect. There's an expectation to it, and faith is convinced. Now, we've been going over this. You say, "Alan, you've been talking about faith. This is part 7. You've been talking about faith for a while." It's kind of a big deal. And it's kind of a big deal from the standpoint is this is how we live this life. And when you begin to understand this is how we live this life, and when it becomes even more of a reality to you, you don't get tired of hearing about it.
That's right.
Now, we'll back off of it and do other kind of teachings, but this is kind of key. It's by grace you're saved through faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. The just shall live by faith. It's a big part of Scripture. It's a big part of our life. And so we have been talking about what it looks like, what it doesn't look like, and I want to continue to go through that contrast, because when you understand this part, it'll help you. And it'll help you not just in your quote-unquote church life, it'll help you in life. It'll help you with your children. It'll help you on the job. It'll help you in your relationships. It'll help. And when you understand that, and let me tell you another area, it'll help you in your peace and comfort in your own heart. A lot of people, even though they have a great face and they look like they're happy, you know, there's a lot of people at angst on the inside. And so, I don't know about you, but living in angst on the inside is not a great way to live. And that's not what God has for us. His desire is that we live in His peace. So, we talked about the nation of Israel had come up on the promised land. Remember, God sent Moses, delivered Israel, had been slaves for 400 years, delivered them out of Egypt. They've made a long trek through the wilderness. They've come to the promised land. And God told Moses, send in 12 spies, one from each of the tribes, a leader. And they would go in and they would look at the land that God had been promising them and telling them, "I've got this land for you. It's yours. Go get it." And so they were going to go in and then come back and tell people, "Man, this is beautiful land. This is wonderful. This is great." But they came back and 10 of the spies had a very different report than 2 of them. 2 said, "Let's go get it. Oh, this is great. This is a land that flows with milk and honey." It means it's an abundant land. It's not barren. It's not dry. It flows with milk and honey. It's beautiful. 10 of them said, "No, we can't do this." They said, there are giants in the land. They have cities. They're walled and glorified. And they're walled and fortified, not glorified. They're fortified, and we're not going to be able to do this. We can't do this. They're too strong for us." 2 reports. And then we see the effect of what happens right here. Numbers 14. "So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night." Now keep in mind, there had been no battle. No one had lifted a spear or shot an arrow. The people cried, they wept that night, and all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, "If only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt?" So they said to one another, "Let's select a leader and return to Egypt." I want you to see the progression of this. So here comes a bad report. And a good way to discern, here's a good way to discern if there's any kind of faith at all. If someone is speaking words that have faith in them, it's not going to cause people to feel bad. The 10 said, "We can't do it. We're not able. We're not strong enough. They're bigger than we are. We look like grasshoppers." And there was no faith in that. 2 guys said, "We can do it. Let's go get it at once." But the people believed the negative report. It's easier to believe negatives than it is positives. If you ever notice the news, what do they lead with? There's an old saying in news, if it bleeds, it leads. They lead with shootings. They lead with somebody who did something stupid on the freeways in Houston. They lead with negative news. You ever notice that no one leads with, hey, here's some positive news? That doesn't catch on. Negative catches on. And so the people were all upset and crying. Now listen, everybody gets there. But when you're at a place when you are upset and crying and you don't believe anything good, that is a good time to be quiet. There was a movie. It was an animated film. I think Disney did. Did Disney do Bambi?
Yes.
They used to call it the Thumper Rule. Remember Thumper's rule? Thumper said, if you can't say anything good,
don't say nothing
at all. You know, Thumper, he didn't realize how scriptural he was. There's some real wisdom in that. Because boy, when you're on a downside, that is the time to be quiet. You say, well, you know, sometimes people say, I just felt bad and I felt down. But look what they did. They said, okay, they're crying all night, and then they started complaining against Moses and Aaron. And when you start complaining and blaming, you're going down a dark path. It's not going to help you. And then they start blaming God. That is really wrong. Going against God is a big step into the dark and starts really a negative snowball. And then they actually talked about going back into slavery. So catch this, what you don't want to do. You start complaining and blaming people. And then if you're not careful, that'll progress where you're now blaming God. And then you start talking about going back to the way it used to be. See, I don't really believe anyone who makes a commitment to the Lord and really loves the Lord. I don't believe they wake up one day and go, you know, I'm just tired of this life. I'm not going to serve God anymore. It's a progression.
That's right.
Something happens that's bad. And it gets in their heart and it gets in their mouth and they begin to talk and then they begin to say other people did this and then they begin to blame God and then they say God doesn't care and then begin to go, you know, I just can't live this Christian life. And way too many people, not you, you're here. But way too many people go there. And what it is you got on that negative spiral and snowball. Now here's the deal. You can look around on your left and on your right, and everyone around you has done this. But we don't have to. And this is where we can make changes. The people believe the negative report, and man, they went all to the point where they're going, we're going to go back to Egypt, which means we're going to go back into slavery. Listen to me. I've been one, and see, I certainly can't point fingers. I had a relationship with the Lord. I was doing good with the Lord. I got away from the Lord. And let me tell you something, getting away from the Lord is not the way to live. You can try to party it down. You can try to dumb it down. You can try to do everything you can to make it go away. But on the inside, you know something is not right, and you know that's not where you need to be. And the best place you need to be is just to make an adjustment, say, Lord, I'm sorry, and come back. And walk with Him. But then recognize how you got to that place and catch it before it happens. Now, that's the negative. Let's listen to what faith sounds like. Faith does not sound like we can't. God doesn't love us. God doesn't care for us. God doesn't help us. When you go that way, the Bible said in Romans 8:6, to be carnally minded is death, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So one of the things you need to understand is, after you've said some things, after you've done some things, what's in you? Is it life and peace, or you just feel, ugh? You know, Joy and I have been married 43 years. We used to argue a lot. We hardly argue at all now. We used to argue a lot. I've never finished an argument with Joy and went, that was good. That really felt, that felt great. You know, after an argument, a lot of times, you ever feel drained? It's like, oh, man, that was bad. I didn't like that. There is a way to have life and peace. And it said to be carnally minded is death, spiritually minded is life and peace. So let's hear what faith sounds like. Numbers 14, verse 6 through 9. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land. These are the two guys. They tore their clothes and they spoke to the congregation of Israel, saying, "The land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." You notice that's got a lot more lift to it. That's got some faith in it. And so what they're doing is they're saying what God has said. This is a good land, just as God said. Listen, here's the deal. Faith is not making up stuff to believe. Faith is not like, okay, I'm just going to believe that I get 100 oil wells. If you do, please. Bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse. No, here's the deal. We just don't make up stuff to believe. Man, I was in Bible school, and man, people were making up stupid stuff to believe. Some guy would see a girl across the room and go, "I claim her, she's going to be my wife. I'm just going to believe she's going to be my wife." It's like, well, you're stupid. You don't even know her. Man, a woman could be meaner than a snake. You don't even know that. But someone's going to claim someone. Oh, and then it gets worse. Then they want to claim someone else's wife. Oh, that's a way to get hurt in Texas. You don't do that. But you just can't make up stuff to believe. I'm just going to believe this. I've used this illustration before. You're sitting out at Chipotle and someone sees you after church. And you go, "Hey, what are you doing at Chipotle?" "Hey, I'm waiting for Pastor Allen to come buy me dinner." "Really?" "Yeah. Oh, Pastor Allen said he was going to come meet you here and buy you dinner?" "Nope. I just believe he will. I have faith that Pastor Allen's going to come buy me dinner at Chipotle. I hope you brought money, because you're going to be sitting there a long time." Why? You don't have a reason for believing that. Now, if I said, "Hey, meet me at Chipotle after church, I will buy you dinner," then you can go there, and if my word's good, you can count on me buying you dinner at Chipotle. Now you have don't go there. No. I heard a woo. No, this is a hypothetical situation here. Well, watch this crowd. Like 55 people at Chipotle going, "It's gonna be good." No, it's not. This is hypothetical. But you hear what I'm saying? If I didn't tell you, you don't have a reason to go and believe that. You got to have a reason to believe. Caleb and Joshua didn't go into the land and they were just happened to be Tony Robbins' disciples of positive thinking. "Hey, we're going to do it. We're going to win." They said what God said. See, faith is not just making stuff up. Faith is not just being positive. Faith is positive, but it's positive based on something. It's got to rest on something. If someone walked in the door and said, "Man, I know I need to get saved. I want to get saved." We've got a reason for saying all you have to do is believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. You confess Him as your Lord and Savior, and you will be saved. We don't have to wonder about that. We don't have to ask about that. We've got God's word on that. So, but we need that all across the board. You need that for peace. You need that for strength. But when you find God's word for it, then you've got a reason. Caleb and Joshua weren't just positive guys. They were saying what God said. God said, "We can take this land." So they're saying the same thing. I can hear the wheels spinning. Caleb and Joshua said, "The Lord will bring us in and give us this land, just like He said." These were the only two, by the way, these were the only two that mentioned God in a positive light. The Lord delights in us, He'll bring us in. Don't rebel against the Lord by disobeying what He said. So they're saying, God said, this is your land, we can do it. And so there's an element of faith that says we're obeying God when we say what he says. Now here's the thought. Maybe you haven't, you've never thought about this. We can bring this down into our personal life. That if God has said we're a new creation in Christ, did he say that? Is that true? Then we have every right to stand up and say, I am a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away out of my life spiritually. All things have become new. And I look good to God. We can say that without bragging. You see, a lot of times people say, no, Alan, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. No, actually, you were an old sinner. But if you got saved by grace, you become a new creation in Christ. You've become someone's new. So what we're learning to do is we're learning to take what God has said and then we take those words and we make them our words. We're not making stuff up. We're just agreeing with him. We're agreeing with what he said. This is what Caleb and Joshua did. They just said, the Lord said we can take it. So they're like, we can take it. The Lord said it's our land. It's our land. They're only saying what God said. And everyone else is saying, here's the deal. They're saying what they could see, what they could feel. Now, what Caleb and Joshua said was invisible. God's with us, can't see it. God will give us this land, can't see that. But remember, they had his word. Faith, remember, is the evidence of things not seen. So we deal with the invisible as a people. People may look at you and go, I don't know, there's no hope for you. Man, there's no hope. You're just a mess. There's no hope for you. Yep, but that's not what God said. And if God said that he will strengthen me and he will help me and he will be with me, then I can say the same thing. And it doesn't matter what your in-laws said. My in-laws didn't think we would make it. They thought Joy and I would not make it. Oh, you're not going to make it. They had no hope or faith in me at all. I gave them a lot of material to work with, but hey. Most people live totally by what they see and what they feel.
That's right.
We live differently.
Amen.
We live by what God said. How many of you believe there's a heaven? Anybody been there? Most of us haven't been there. There have been people who have actually died and gone to heaven. I met a guy one time. I was sitting beside him in church. I started talking about heaven, and the guy beside me started going, yep, that's right, that's right, that's right. Got my curiosity. I said, excuse me, you're talking like you know it. He said, yeah. He said, my testimony is here in the church. He said, I had a motorcycle accident. I was dead for about 2 hours. And he said, I went to heaven. I went, oh, that's cool. I said, did you see Jesus? He said, yeah, I did. I said, oh, that's really cool. I said, in fact, he looked at me. He said, he's about your height, a little taller, a little thicker. I'm like, yeah, that's right. But he's been there. I haven't. But I believe it's real. And I believe when we leave this life and our days on earth are over, if Jesus doesn't come back and get us, I believe we will go and spend eternity with him in heaven. Now, we can talk about heaven. We've heard about heaven. We've talked about heaven. We believe in heaven. Loved ones die. First question we ask is, did they know the Lord? Oh, yeah, good. They are in heaven. So we know about that. We've talked about that. What we need to do is bring some of these other things that God has already said. We need to bring that into our life. So when we begin to talk about our identity, that our identity is not in who we were. It's not in our background. It's not in, I'm a white male from the South. My identity is in Christ. And I'm a new creation in Christ. And I'm strong in Christ. And I'm someone that God loves and someone that he's accepted and someone he's favored. Not because I'm a pastor, but because I'm in Christ. And see, when we begin to hear more like that, then we can begin to take God's word and begin to say what he says. I've been saying this year, reading a verse in Psalms 65, verse 11, it says, you crown the year with goodness and your paths drip with abundance. I went, yes. Now that quickened to my heart. So I began to say, we are this year, God, you are crowning this year for the Ark Church with your goodness and your paths drip with abundance. Man, isn't that better than going, dear God, it's a bad year. I know, it's a good year. But I'm going to say what God has said. Now, that's the beautiful thing. Listen, guys, the Holy Spirit can give you words right out of the scriptures, and he can speak to your heart, and you can get them in your heart, and you can begin to speak them out of your mouth, and nobody else sees it, nobody else believes it, but it doesn't matter. What matters is what's in you. Amen. They look at your family, going, your family will never make it, and you're going, that's not what I believe. Man, I believe something different. But you got to have a basis for what you believe. You can't just pull something out of the air. My children are all going to be multimillionaire doctors and lawyers. No, but you can say my children are blessed and they are strong and they will live for the Lord. And you can begin to say these things. And they have a future and it's bright. Just makes sense. Are you with me tonight? You're a little woolish tonight. That's a new word. Don't try to explain that to anybody outside the church. It's a Wednesday night thing. But this is where we've got to go. I want you to hear what Caleb said. The bad news was all those 10 spies and everyone over the age of 20 never made it into the promised land. They all died in the wilderness. Caleb and Joshua got to be old guys. And they're getting ready to go in. Everybody else died off. They're getting ready to go in. I'm going to go to Numbers 14, 7 and 8. This is Caleb talking to Joshua. He said, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. I want you to see the next word. And I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. There's three things I want you to see right in there. He said, I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. He saw the same land. He saw the same giants. He saw the same cities, but that's not what he brought back. What he had in his heart was what God had said. And God has said, we can take this land. That's what he brought. He said, nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. How did they make the heart of the people melt? With their words. You hear me talk a lot about it. If you ever listen to me, you hear me talk a lot about words. And words are so important. Death and life, Proverbs says, are in the power of the tongue. And what happened is those 10 spies came back and they spoke so much death, it caused the hearts of the people to melt. But you know that still happens today. You can still cause someone's heart to melt, or you can strengthen them. I was in sales for years, and man, I appreciate sales. Sales could be up and down. But I appreciate when I would leave, every day when I would leave, Joy, she would look at me and she'll go, I believe you're going to have a good day. I believe you're going to sell something today. Those are good words. Those will strengthen you. She didn't look at me and go, dear God, we're going to die if you don't sell something soon. I hope you get something going here. If you work a little harder, that can cause your heart to melt. Marriage tip. No, I'm serious. Marriage tip. Recognize your words can melt or lift. Say, well, man, Alan, we're going through a hard time. I get it. But that's the good time to be quiet. That's not the time to go, oh, dear God, I don't know about this Christian life. I think God's forgotten us. He likes everybody else. He doesn't like me. He likes Pastor Allen and Joy. Their life is perfect. We don't have a perfect life. Our life is horrible. I decided this horrible life. It's a terrible life. Terrible, 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 horrible. God forgot me. That will cause your heart to melt like a snowball in August. So what do you do, Alan, when you're going through a hard time? Be quiet until you can say something that's got a little bit of faith in it. So I don't know what to say. I don't know what's good. How about this one? How about Hebrews 13, 6, 5 and 6? Let your life be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? You say, I don't know. Man, we're facing a hard time. I don't know what to say. Say this. Thank you, Lord. You are not leaving me. You'll never leave me and forsake me. You are my helper. I will not be afraid. Do you realize how much those words can lift you? Those words can lift you. No. I need spontaneous woos, not prompted woos. No, listen. I want you to think about this. I really want you to, I want you to think this week. What are my words doing? What are my words doing? What are my words doing about my kids? Are they strengthening them? Or are they melting? Yeah, I know this isn't Wooville here, guys. But this will change things. You look at your children sometimes, you go, oh, what is going to happen to you? And you want to go, how could, best thing you can do is just go, praise God. God has a future for you. And it's bright. And I'm praying for you that you reject all that stupidity you've been walking in. No, that's not good. No. Let me pull that one back. I'm praying for you. And I believe you're going to be okay.
Amen.
Listen, faith is not just standing up like movies and the wind's blowing through your hair. You're like, people of faith. Faith is when things just get tough and you go, Lord, you're my helper. I am not alone. You will never leave me or forsake me. And you look at your family, you go, I don't know how, but God's going to help us. We're going to come through this. We're going to make it. We're going to make it. Those words lift. They don't melt. Over the years, Joe and I have learned to stop using our words to hurt one another. And we use our words to lift one another. Say, so do you ever argue now? Our arguments are so short because both of us just go quiet. And if no one is talking, there's no argument. But then when we speak, words have love in them. Words have life in them. Words have faith in them. Does this make sense? What's our basis? What's the basis for how we live, what we say? What's the basis for your future? What are you talking about in your future? Are you just like, man, I hope things get better. I hope things are good. I hope, or are you saying, I believe God will help me. We're going to be all right. It's going to be good. Caleb and Joshua, 40 years later, went into the promised land. I like that picture. Those two guys, they're the oldest ones out there. You know what Caleb said? I'll just paraphrase it for you. He's like, he's 80 at least. He's like, Moses said I could have that mountain right there. I want that mountain because I hear that there's some giants on that mountain. And I like that spirit. You know what God said about Caleb? He said he had a different spirit about him. A different spirit is a spirit that instead of just completely being dominated by what we see and what we feel, a different spirit is one that says, God, I don't care what I see or feel. I trust you. And things are going to turn out all right. What are you saying about your family, about your business, about your career, about your identity, about your future? What are you saying? May be time to do a word audit. And audit what you're saying. And then if you realize, man, I haven't been talking good, ask the Lord to give you a crop failure from those seeds you've planted and ask him and begin to go and say, Lord, what can I begin to say about my marriage, about who I am, about my future, about my finances? What am I going to say? You want your words. You know, we speak good words over you. We pray for you. We speak good words. Wouldn't you rather have a pastor who's going, I believe his people are blessed. I believe God's helping them. I believe God's giving them wisdom and insight. We pray, God, fill them with the knowledge of your will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding that they may walk worthy of you, fully pleasing you, and being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of you. Would you rather I do that than go, dear God, these people are a mess? No. We believe in you. We speak faith over you. You can do the same. Would you bow your head for a moment? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're here this evening and you say, you know what, Alan, I don't even know. I don't even know if I have a relationship with the Lord. I'm not sure. I want to be sure. Or maybe you were at one time and got away from him. So we're going to say a prayer. We're not going to have you stand up. I'm not going to have you come to the front. But this is your night. If you've never made that commitment or you know you need to come back, this is a great time to do it. Sitting right in your chair. Man, this will be the best thing you ever did and one of the easiest things you ever did. So we're right here with you. If you're online, this is for you. But if that's you I'm talking to and you're saying, you know, Alan, I don't have a relationship. I want one, or I want to come back to the Lord. Would you pray for me? Quickly slip your hand up just across this auditorium. Thank you. Thanks. Thank you. Thanks. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate your courage. Put your hands down. We're going to pray. If you didn't lift your hand, you're welcome still to get in on this prayer. Online, jump in. If you're by yourself, pray it out loud. If you're with others, pray it quietly. Say, dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Father, thank you for those that prayed that prayer here, those that prayed that prayer online, for the ones who've come to you for the first time and the ones who've come back. Lord, thank you for how you're helping us and teaching us. We are growing. We're getting stronger. We're fruitful in every good work. We're increasing in the knowledge of you, living honorably before you, fully pleasing you. What a blessing. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.